gears. It means it's a Friday.
Yeah.
It means I'm in love.
Well, yes.
It means the weekend is upon us.
Well, it means all that. That's why they wrote that song. That's why these guys wrote that song. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And yes, as Wendy just mentioned, it's true. Today is Friday, the greatest day ever invented. We hope you're enjoying it. It should be a pretty good show. Steve, I'm curious about something. During the news, you told the story of a guy whose dream it was to mow the lawn of the White House.
Little Frankie.
Little Frankie. How old is little Frankie?
He's 11 years old, 11? I think, from Falls Church, Virginia. And he wrote a letter saying, you know, I'd be honored to mow the White House lawn.
Yeah.
So he started Tuesday. He just finished.
That's a lawn. It's a huge lawn.
No. No, when he was out mowing, did a little mowing this morning. There were pictures of him.
And then he said, upon completion, this was the best day of my life.
It might have been before, but he said, so far, today's pretty much the best day of my life.
All right. So
poor little kid.
A couple things. Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Come on. It's great.
It is cool. And I love cutting grass. I really do.
Now, would it be... Now, I know he's only 11. Mm-hmm. So he has not achieved a lot of the milestones that life will eventually bring him. I understand that. But is it possible that this would be the best day of his life?
Absolutely.
At this
Are
point,
you kidding
yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah,
Bill.
I agree.
He's 11 years old. He's at the White House. He's... You know, he wants to cut the grass there. I think he's got to, you know, look at what he'll do for his lawn mowing business.
Huge.
You know?
You put that on your lawn mowing resume.
I mean, come on. When I was 11, the best day of my life is when I, you know, played a game without an error at first base. This kid's mowing the White House lawn.
All right. So here's my, this is a side bet I've made only with myself, but I will share it to you now. I bet if you ask the average person aged 25 and up, best day of your life, I guarantee you, for most of those people, they will either mention the day that they were married or the birth of either their oldest child or one of their children, or maybe all of their children, right? Wouldn't you imagine? That should be,
yeah.
That should probably be the best day of your life, right?
Well, that's why they say it.
Yeah.
But it might not be.
Oh. You know the best day of my life?
Was?
When I started working with you.
What? Is that is that true?
The second time. The first time wasn't that great, but now that we're back together here at WGN, best day of my life.
Best day of my life is today, because you know what?
Huh.
Present is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Oh. That should be on a card or a pillow or something. Look at Wendy is snapping. She's cracking her nose.
I'm meditating now. You are so inspirational and zen-like.
Right. Well, that's all I've got.
I wonder if, like, most people listed, I can't tell you them off the top of my head, but if I had some time to pick, like, the 10 best days of my life, certainly my wedding day would be on. The day my daughters were born would certainly be on there. And then the other ones are all kind of strange, you know? Like, for me, like, whenever I have to think about what was the happiest I've ever been, I know this is crazy. But there was a day in Florida when my daughters were very little, and we were driving from Orlando, Florida to Delray Beach, Florida. And my wife is asleep next to me, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and both girls were asleep. They were just little kids. They were in baby seats. But just the fact that, I mean, I looked over, and I just saw her laying there peacefully sleeping, and then in the mirror, the girls just peacefully sleeping and knowing we were on vacation.
Did you have to pinch yourself, kind of? Was that I got to pinch myself moment.
You know how I get very emotional. I got all misty-eyed just because I go, what's better than this? And I know that's strange.
Well, them awake would be better.
They're so quiet.
Not always.
Just so quiet and peaceful. But I just went, the dream that I had of eventually having this happened.
Yeah.
You know, it somehow happened. And I know that's weird. You go, that would be one of the happiest moments of your life, but it absolutely was.
But those moments mean the most. You know, the big events are kind of a given. I have to throw in there the night I got engaged. That was a pretty amazingly great night.
Yeah. That should definitely be on there.
But there are little things, too, you know. When you have your first baby, you had two at one time because you're always in a hurry to get ahead of everyone else.
Stuff to do.
But, like, the first time you take a moment to relax and look at your baby sleeping, those are beautiful moments.
Yeah. And there's a lot of child milestones. Like, everybody always remembers the first steps they took or when they said their first word. So those should certainly be up there.
When my kids said their first swear word, that was really touching. day for me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was kind of, I was like, hey, way to go.
But do a lot of yours revolve around either holidays or vacations? Because a lot of mine would fit in there, I think probably for most people, right?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Well, that's when the family truly comes together is holidays. And if you take a family vacation, hence the name family.
Yeah.
So that's the moment. I mean, really, it is all about family. It really is.
Yeah, I guess it should be, right?
Yeah. Kind of is.
And then, but then there would also be achievements, like you said off the top of your head, that day that you started working here.
Seriously, though, that was a pretty great day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, when milestones, personal achievements is definitely in that category. Are we going to be, like, hopeful and happy
today?
No,
Steve started that. Don't put that on me. Steve was very inspirational.
Well, we owe Frankie.
Right. We owe this all to our friend Frankie, the lawn mowing kid. So what does he do now to top this, Steve? He's mowed the White House lawn. Where do you go from there?
There's a guy at the White House who gave him the phone number for the Kremlin. He's going to do the Kremlin next.
Is there a picture of him? Did he keep the line straight? Because that really bugs me when people, like, go off kilter when they...
There's been so much. I have to just say, if I can vent a little bit, you know, because, look, there are a lot of people who just cannot stand anything that this White House does.
Right.
And this little kid is out there mowing the lawn, and there's been more negative chatter about, you know, this, and will this look good, and why is it good, and they paint, and blah, 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 blah. Let's just have a good story, okay? His lines were a little crooked, but we're okay
with that.
Well,
then we can criticize that.
No, come on. It's all good.
So when people are critical of him doing this...
You.
No, I'm not.
You did. We both said, oh, that's your best day ever.
Not because it's the White House, because for me, the mere idea that just mowing a lawn would make for the happiest day of your life, regardless of whose lawn it is, that shouldn't be the happiest day of your life.
Can I tell you something? One of the most distinct moments of my childhood, what I remember, is mowing the backyard of Dr. Shaw's office in Mantino on a hot summer afternoon.
Why? What happened?
I had the big, sweaty headphone radios on back then, you know, that...
Yeah.
And I was there for the very beginning of the Cubs broadcast where they played, you know, hey, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is heaven.
Yeah.
The game is just starting. I'm back here by myself mowing, and I still remember that feeling.
Isn't that crazy, though, that something that when you look at it on paper, you go, well, that would make the top 10,000 happiest.
Right.
And it did.
It's the one that's with me.
That's crazy. Several people have texted what the happiest days of their lives are, and Steve, you'll be happy to find out that your Dr. Shaw is getting a lot of love on the text lines for some weird reason. I don't know why, but he is.
Because you said you cut his back, was it his backyard?
Yeah, his lawn. So a lot of people are texting in saying how much they love him and how nice his lawn looks. So congratulations for that.
Can I say there was a lot of excitement going on in LaGrange, Illinois. As we got off the air on the stream yesterday, there was a soft lockdown at my kids' high school at Lyons Township, both campuses. And that news came after Jimmy Mack was walking Tiki the dog down the street. And all of a sudden, he had his headphones on, which...
Jimmy or the dog?
Both.
Okay.
They like to rock, but separately.
Yes.
And Jim was kind of walking down the street. Tiki stopped to sniff something. Thankfully, Jim was not crossing the street because a car was going down our street at about 60 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. A second after he noticed that, there were like 12 police officers chasing this car.
Yeah.
A wheel fell off and hit a parked car on our street a couple blocks down, smashed the car. This car continued to drive for miles, a couple of miles, on just a rim.
Yeah.
And a bad crash happened fairly near the high school. A soft lockdown was going on at the school, which I didn't really know what that was. Just no one can go out for gym. No one can enter or leave the building.
Yeah.
You stay in whatever class you're in. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for the kid that was in the bathroom when the soft lockdown
went
down.
Stay in the bathroom. So were you putting it in your head that these are probably related, or were you not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jim tells me I almost got hit by this car. There were 12 police cars following him. Then, you know, maybe 45 minutes later, the school's on a lockdown, and I guess there was an armed robbery in Lyons. They went through LaGrange, and this is the thing that scares me. It happened at about 11:30 yesterday past an elementary school in our neighborhood. They put barricades up because the crossing guard is there, and kids were leaving for lunch at about 11:32. This happened at 11:30. This car went down the street that was barricaded and just went around the barricades, as did all the U.S. Marshals and police that were chasing him.
Yeah.
How scary is that? 5 minutes later, there would have been kids walking down the street.
Yeah, that's frightening.
It was very awful. Frightening, and then everybody is trying to find out information in our little town of Mayberry to see what happened.
So you still don't know what the lockdown was?
The lockdown was that it was an armed robbery, and they had apprehended three of the suspects. One was still on the loose. That's why the school was in a soft lockdown at the time. They did apprehend him. Everything seems to be okay.
That's good news.
But honestly, I started thinking about it last night, talking about the happiest days of your life. One of them was when I got engaged to Jim. And honestly, had he, with earbuds on, walked across that street, 2 seconds later...
Could have been the end.
Yeah.
Ah, terrible.
So
awful.
That just scared me.
I'm glad everything's okay.
It was very weird in our little neck of the woods.
In my hometown, I live in Evanston, Illinois. Come visit, everybody. We'd love to have you at the house. The city of Evanston is replacing the Denver Boot, which has been there for years. Not just in Evanston, I guess. When did the Denver Boot first start? Probably 15 or 20 years ago?
In Denver.
It started originally, of course, in Denver.
Why does Denver get everything, like the omelet? Denver Broncos, the Nuggets.
Everything. They get everything. The city of Evanston is replacing the Denver Boot with a higher-tech disabling device. The scofflaws will fine one on their vehicle after three unpaid parking tickets. What this is essentially is, they call it the barnacle. And what it is, have you seen
this
before?
I've seen this.
It's this giant orange plate. Well, it's not a plate because a plate, I guess, makes it sound more harder edged, and it's not. It's kind of soft. And with suction cups, it attaches to your front windshield. So obviously you can't see out of it. You can't drive your vehicle. Although on the news yesterday, they said that they recommended you not drive your vehicle while this is on. I'm going to say don't do it.
Can I tell you, I saw a YouTube video of someone driving with that thing on.
Somebody tried
to? I'm not kidding. It's like they were kind of scratching down and looking up and trying to drive with it. They did end up running into a tree.
It covers, I would say, roughly 90 to 92% of your windshield. I mean, there's a way, I guess, you could angle yourself to look
not
around
very
it,
safe.
But it's not very safe.
Does the defrost work? Because sometimes I drive when the frost is coming.
No, it's still okay with the defrost. No. You're okay, Steve. Like the organism that clings to the hull of a ship, parking scofflaws in Evanston will now find a barnacle attached to their windshields. The barnacle adheres with suction cups and has a motion sense alarm and a location tracker for motorists to try to remove them or flee. They also show you that once you pay it off, you type in, I think it's a 5-digit code.
And
that
un-adheres.
Removes it. But then they weren't clear on, but do you then get to keep it?
Who wants it?
I don't know.
You could always put it on your neighbor's car.
Somebody you don't like. I hate that guy. I'll take care of him.
I don't know what you do with it. You probably have to return it to your local police station.
Yeah, I would imagine. They were very unclear about that, because that, to me, that was one of the most important aspects of the story, is once you've removed it, and it couldn't be easier, but then I also know people that would go, okay, if it's a 5-digit code, I'll just sit here and figure out what the 5-digit code is. We only have 99,999 possibilities.
Speaking of codes, I have to tell you this. I was listening to the morning show yesterday and the whole Equifax breach that went on. I heard Andrea Darla say go to EquifaxSecurity2017.com. Mm-hmm. You can punch in the last 6 digits of your Social Security number and your last name and see if you have been affected. So I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it said you may have, your information may have been compromised. So then I'm like, I'm going to check Jim. So I did that. Your information may have been compromised. And then I thought, let me try something. So I put the name Smith, and for the 6 digits of the Social Security number, I put 123456. Same window came up said, your information may have been compromised.
See, they're right on top of it.
Reporter there. Good job.
Well,
nice.
I just thought, you know.
Wendy Zechman.
That is an honor.
It is an honor.
But I just thought, you know what? They're just covering themselves saying that regardless.
You already knew that going in that your information may have been compromised.
Well, I just said that, you know, your information has been subject to something. We suggest you sign up for our security. But no one.
You may be in line for great big thrills.
Right.
But so that is coming up for everybody.
They needed to say, yes, somebody stole your information, or no, nobody stole your information.
But all I'm saying is don't do it, people. Don't put in your Social Security number, because regardless, I put 123456.
Yeah.
No one has a Social Security number that begins with that. So automatically it's just going to say your information has been compromised. They're just trying to get you to sign up for their security, which I'm not doing. Their security sucks.
Right. Right. Why would you go to them if they've already been compromised?
I know.
Or anywhere but them.
123456.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then Jay Farrell, very funny man, great impressionist, joins us. He's at Zanies this weekend. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and in studio with us right now, one of our favorite impressionists and comedians, formerly of Saturday Night Live, now branching out on his own once again. Jay Farrow is here performing at Zany's tonight and tomorrow night. Jay, how are you?
I'm good. What was that ex Katy Perry track y'all was just playing in the background?
I'm not sure which one.
What was that?
That was Daft Punk, One More Time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think it was Katy Perry?
I thought it was a Katy Perry song.
Well, she was with Daft Punk for many years. You know that.
There were those gin phones. Right. Of course she was.
You couldn't tell because of the mask.
Right.
It was Katy Perry in there.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Small fun fact.
She was in the band. Frederick Douglass was in there.
Jeez, dude.
I'm good, though. I'm great, man. How are y'all?
Jay, it's good fine. To see you again. I was just telling somebody, one of the things I like most about you is you don't only do great impressions, because that's a given. You do great impressions, but you do people I've never heard anyone else do, and that's not easy.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Thank you. Well, like what? Like who? Like who, brother? Like who we talk about?
Here? I never heard anyone do Denzel Washington until I heard you do it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Really?
That's, yeah, okay, fine. I guess that's what it is. You're setting it up, setting the pins up for me to knock it down with the ball. That's what you're doing, right?
Yes.
You were just trying to get me to do Denzel. Okay,
yes.
All right. Well, I'm in the Windy City. It's a nice place. A lot of sun. A lot of shine. A lot of weird accents.
Yes.
A weird accent here. And
yes.
You know what it is. Chicago. You know how it sounds. Huh? That's right. Sounds kind of Wisconsin. Huh?
So when you have it in your head to do somebody's voice and no one's ever done it, what are you doing? What are you finding in the voice that is so original?
What am I finding in the voice? I don't know, man. It's just I study the person so much. Eventually, I'm able to freestyle as the person, just to say things in the vein that they would say.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it's just that. It's just you study, and you just acquire it. And then before you know, you become the character. And you try not to lose yourself. I think one time, this only happened once, because people joke about this all the time. They say, at one time, I couldn't get out of an impression.
Really?
Once.
What was it?
Just once. I think it was... Who that? James Brown.
That's
really?
What I was gonna say.
Yeah.
James Brown. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was... Huh? Mr. Brown, I was talking like this here. You know what I'm saying? Feel good. Ain't it funny?
4 days.
4 days.
Oh, that's hurtful.
I couldn't get out of it for a second. But I
why would you want to?
Huh?
Why would you want to get out of it?
That's a fun voice,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
James Brown. Woke up in the morning. James Brown about that dumb day. Jim Brown walking at that door, get my got wear my hand mess up with the solo there.
You have to have close captioning underneath when you're talking
exactly. He needs subtitles, him and Shannon Sharp. I said it.
All right, so do you do people that you idolize and love, or do you just do someone with a unique voice?
I have to actually like you to do an impression of you. I'm not going to waste my time doing an impression of you if I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I did Kanye, I was a Kanye fan. I was like, whoa, he's Kanye West. I was so starstruck when I saw him. I didn't know. I said, oh, snap, it is him. The jaw is real, son. Because he got the jaw. You know, it's big. You know, it's real old Mac Legends of the Hidden Temple and shit. You know what I'm saying? Big shit, my like, what? If we did a sketch like that with Kanye, was old Mac? Oh, God. The Blue Barracudas, fam.
y'all got to go inside of the temple, and y'all got to make sure that y'all get dependent. Now, when we talking about the monkeys, the red monkeys, now, y'all know that y'all are winning team, and if you lose, then your family going to see it, fam, and they going to judge you, fam.
And then the eyes just close, and Kim walks past with the two kids.
Do you ever do the impressions to the person when you meet them?
That's
gotta be weird.
You know what? Let's talk about it. Every time Jay-Z sees me, Jay-Z's like, yeah, what up, fake Jay-Z? Yeah, I'm a fan, but, you know, yeah, can't get a picture now. Ever. 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 Hope. Oh, it's just people want me to do it sometimes.
Yeah. Jay, for 20 years, Will Smith was famous, and for 20 years, nobody even attempted to do his voice, and then you come along and nail it. How'd that happen?
I don't know. I had no clue. I just fell into it, man. I don't know. Yeah, that was, that was like me, like, sitting and, like, talking. And all of a sudden, you know, I just started, like, sounding like him. But the thing is, my voice sounds like him anyway.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So, you know, it ain't hard. Yeah. And then when I came, you know, he was like, yo, you don't sound like me. And I was like, I think I do. And he was like, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, what knocks it out of the park is that extra clear throat, that thing. I don't know why, but it works.
He does it.
He does do it.
Woo! Love to hear him in the bedroom. Well, actually, I wouldn't, because that's weird.
Right.
So, who have you tried? That would be weird. Who have you tried, and for some reason your voice just doesn't get there? Has there been a few of them?
I don't think. Does anybody?
Nobody.
At first it was. That's not true.
He hasn't really mastered
it. I have mastered.
Your voice. Your sister's voice.
I have mastered it. I'm not going to do it right now. Look, you know what you're doing.
You don't sound like me,
dog. I do. That's what Drake said. I sounded just like him.
Well, you did sound just like Drake, but you don't sound just like him.
I'm not going to do it now.
You should.
Listen, come on now.
Shalom.
Where's the salt? Put the salt in the ground. Put your foot in it.
But then the pressure's on you, Shana, to be famous, so you can put that in the air.
I didn't want to say that, but shots.
I'm already famous.
Even more than you. She does have an IMDb, though.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Actually, I forgot I was paying for it, so I might want to just put some content on it. Okay. That might be charged.
Nah, but the hardest one I would say was to get down. Well, not the hardest one, but the one that I didn't think I could get down was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah?
And I got that somehow.
How do you do a little Samuel L. Jackson?
I mean, how do you do Samuel L. Jackson without saying the F word?
Yeah.
We are on public radio, and I can't even do the impression justice.
Yeah, you can talk.
Yes, Jay, please.
Nah, man, you about to read your announcements. I ain't trying to mess with your bread.
I want people to know who you are. Jay Farrow's here performing at Zany's tonight, 2 shows, 8 and 10:30, and then 3 shows tomorrow, 6, 8, and 10. Go see Jay Farrow at Zany's in Rosemont. Go to zanys.com for all the information. I know that the nature of Saturday Night Live is cast members come and go. But last year, when you and Taryn Killen were no longer a part of the show, I'm not kidding when I say this, both Wendy and I were just looking at each other like, what's that all about? That doesn't make sense.
What happened?
And then a couple of days later, we both got shows on Showtime.
How about that? Good.
No, man, listen, man, transition. I'm on White Famous right now. It's coming out October the 15th. Y'all should check it out. Why? Because it shows a broad spectrum of talent.
Good.
It shows everything. I'm talking about from the acting, from the improv, from the funny stuff to the voice. It has everything. So you make sure that you tune in the day after my birthday and you check that out.
Give me the deets again.
The deets?
Yeah.
October the 15th on Showtime.
Got it.
10 o'clock. 10 p.m.
Back-to-back episodes.
Nice.
Is it going to be 9 central? It's going to be 9 central. 9, 10, so yeah. So y'all, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock at 9:30. Don't do nothing. Y'all ain't doing nothing but eating popcorn. You're not doing anything.
Right.
So chill out, watch it. You know, enjoy. It's so dope. And oh my God,
did they come? Did Showtime come to you and say you create the show? Whatever you want to do, we're on board. How did this play out?
Well, it was already a script written, but the story itself, I identified with it because
that's what I know how that is. I've lived that.
Yeah.
So I immediately connected with the character, and it just made sense.
Good.
I was just like, yeah, here we go.
Good. I'm glad you weren't sitting on the bench for a while. I'm glad you picked up work right away. That's very good.
Oh, well, like I said, man, it was transitional. I love how you're talking about SNL when we're talking about White Famous now. White Famous is coming out October 15th.
White Famous.
Ain't none, bitch. We don't need to talk about that.
All right. We don't have to. But I just want you to know that you had fans out there who were scratching their heads going, this guy should not have been... let go. You should have still.
Well, nobody even said let go. Well, why you keep? Matter of fact, why is we talking about this?
We don't have to.
All right, I just got a text from my husband saying Jay is so effing funny that our son didn't want to get out of the car to go to his college class right now. So please don't make my kid not go to school.
Nah, hey man,
she should stop being funny.
Please stop being funny.
Hold up, who's talking right now?
Yeah, please introduce.
Let's get him on.
Oh, this is AJ Foster. I'm the opener for this weekend. I travel with Jay a lot. I'm the appetizer before the main dish comes out.
You're the calamari.
I'm the ad that you gotta watch on YouTube before you get to the video you actually came to see, because they all here to see this dude. But at the end of the show, they're like, "Hey, that dude, he was cool too."
But it makes for a fun show. You guys working together, that's a good time.
It's a nice complete show. We've been working together for about 2 years now, so we got nice chemistry. I know what you know how to set him up right so he can knock him down.
Doesn't he exhaust you, though?
No.
You
have so much energy.
And we got a great balance. I'm really low energy, chill, cool. You know, I'm just relaxed in my delivery, and then he comes out and just off the wall for the rest of the night.
Sounds like a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, when you said that, you was like, doesn't he exhaust you? I was like, wait, we ain't sleeping.
That's your business. Whatever you want to do. That's your business.
No, we like girls. We
all right, that's fine.
And your sister's here, because people are like, who's that lovely voice we're hearing in the background?
Yeah, she...
Hello there. My name is Shayna.
Okay.
This guy's my brother.
Meaning you, Jay.
Has he always been funny? Like, always?
Sure. Take it too long. No, she didn't. Listen, I didn't. I was shy around my family. You know why? And I talk about it because basically I was getting joked. I'd get joked by y'all. So I was a little fat kid.
I wasn't joking.
Well, daddy was joking, man. My father would tell me to get on the scale and he'd get on the scale. Let me see what your number is.
You know, sometimes parents do the best they can and...
Look, it ain't no beef. We're not beefing.
But they inspired you.
Always the best.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm about to say, ain't like we sitting at the Thanksgiving table. He across from me, and I got the cranberry sauce ready to throw at his head. That ain't happening. We got a good relationship. So that's in the past. But the point is that I didn't do all of that animators in front of them.
Right.
Yeah. I did it for the... I was in school doing it. I did it when the teacher left the classroom. Oh, my teacher, they hated me.
You did the teacher's voices.
I did
voices.
The teacher voice, and then I had somebody looking out, be like a 9-year-old looking out, like, yo, here come Mr. Sammons, like, cool, like, quit that, you know what I mean? Get in the back.
And the kids were eating it up. They were
the
loving it.
The kids loved it. Miss Danko, her pupils was real small, and her eyes were real big and white. And I'm talking about, you ever seen the commercial with that black family and the eyeballs pop out the head? That's what she was.
What commercial is this?
No, it's like, no, no.
In the 50s?
No, that
1950s?
Woman can pop her eyes out. She was on Letterman and everything.
So that's how Miss Danko would get. Like, but just imagine that as like a heavy middle-aged white lady with eyes bulging out of face. It's very scary. It looks like it. It's very scary situation. So
I hope Miss Danko ain't listening.
No, she doesn't.
I hope she is. Hey, Miss Danko, how you doing? Remember what you said when I was in third grade? Remember how you used to look at me? Remember that? Hey, Mr. Sammons, how you doing, sir? What's Miss Sammons believed in me. Hey, Miss Horniman, how you doing? Miss Horniman, how you doing at home with your age spots in you? And your little marks in your triple chin.
Got a whole list.
And she ain't got one. I got a whole list.
Wow.
Hey. Hey, Miss Jones. How you doing, Miss Jones? What's going on? Remember you told me that something was wrong? Remember that? Remember that? Well, guess what? Something is wrong. Nothing wrong with the money. How about that, Miss?
Wow.
What's up, Miss Jones? Miss Jones told me I would never be anything.
We always had one of those. Everybody that make that is a celebrity with a story like that. Like Jay-Z's uncle told him he would never sell a million albums. And he always says, yeah, I sold about a million like a million times. Like, like that's real. So she told me that something was, maybe he needs to get checked. My mom, look, don't say that.
Jay, you know that's the story that is Judas Priest, right? Their band is called Judas Priest because a gym coach told those guys they'd never amount to anything. And they said, yeah, well, if we do, you're going to hear your name every time we're a success. So they named their band after their gym coach.
That's Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner. What did I say?
Judas Priest.
Leonard Skinner. I'm sorry.
And right now, behind the music.
No, it's Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner. Because their teacher was Leonard Skinner.
It's the Bengals. I'm totally wrong.
Okay.
All right. And you have a dog because the dog walked by our showcase studio and you saw a little puppy. What do you have?
She's a Jack Russell Terrier and a poodle mixed.
What's her name?
Her name is Bailey. Bailey. She has a lot of energy. And she's a very smart dog. And she's sweet, too. She just wants to be loved, you know.
So did Miss Danko, and look how that ended up.
Yeah. Miss Danko got love. I'm sure she
did. Just
not from you.
Not from me. Not.
From somebody else. Jay, great to see you again.
Thank you, man.
Happy for your success. Jay Farrow's performing.
White Famous.
White Famous on Showtime. Day after your birthday?
Day after my birthday.
That's a couple of good days in a row. Go see Jay at Zanies in Rosemont tonight and tomorrow. Go to zanies.com. The info's there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Our friend Kurt Wagner is here.
For
a disco party.
Oh, great. I love disco.
Kurt has his own website, tvshowpatrol.com, and he was a member of Judas Priest for many years. How are you, Kurt?
Are you going to run with that all day now?
Yeah.
And listen,
the weekend.
We are
notorious.
That was
the dumbest question I've ever asked anybody.
It wasn't even a question. No, it was like a know-it-all statement. But we've all been there. I'll do it later without even trying.
That was inexcusable.
Oh, I do that all the time. When you're interviewing an actor and you say, oh, I loved you and so and so.
I wasn't in that.
But you guys, we have so much minutia running around in our brain that sometimes it gets, you know, it collides.
I guess. Thanks. I don't know what I was thinking. I need some time off. All right, Kurt Wagner, like I said, is still here, believe it or not. And what a big day Sunday is. It's the Emmy Awards,
already?
TV's biggest night.
Already?
Yeah.
This year has flown.
It has.
I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I can't believe it's Emmy season already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is.
So what are the big surprises? Was anybody not nominated that should have been? Was anybody nominated that shouldn't have been? What shocked you about this year's awards?
I always feel it's always weird because the snubs and surprises, sometimes you just, you know, it's not. There's so much TV now that I don't think anything's that surprising.
So it's harder for
someone to be overlooked or someone to be, you know. So I always sort of more concentrate after the nominations are done because otherwise I'm, you know, like maybe I love a show, but nobody's even seen it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I watch a lot of stuff that probably not a lot of people watch. Not that it's elitist or anything.
Right.
I just find it on weird channels.
Yeah, and it's your job.
Yeah. You know, then you get down to it with the nominees that you were given. And then it's more interesting. And I think looking at these nominees this year, it's sort of wide open.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is always sort of a lock for Veep.
Right.
And I think she'll probably win again. But there's people that could, you know, there's some people that could unseat her.
She won it three times in the past for Veep. I know she won for Seinfeld also, but I think two or possibly three times, right?
Yeah,
for this.
I think so.
Yeah.
And even The Show, which has won
countless awards
a few times, I think it is up against, I think Atlanta has a good shot, the FX show with Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all this, like these little things that could sneak in, you know, and the best drama, Handmaid's Tale has been, we've heard a lot about that.
Smith
The
Moss.
Crown, we've heard a lot about that. But Stranger Things might sneak in there as a totally different, you know, kind of show that just had so much buzz around it and for so long, and everybody's now excited about season two, which is coming later this year, you know. So I think it's just, it's interesting.
When people know that a show is on its last season, like Veep has one more year and then it's done. So does that make voters say, well, this is the last chance we'll ever have to vote for her or for somebody else, or does that not play in?
It might make some, but I would think that show is one so many times that that's probably not a factor this time around. But, you know, there's also that thing, like, with the Best Actress drama. Robin Wright has been nominated a bunch for
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
Never saw a minute of that.
But I don't think she's won, and this year she had a really good storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might be her year, but then she's up against Elizabeth Moss
mm-hmm.
and Claire Foy.
Mm-hmm.
Claire Foy was Queen Elizabeth in The Crown. So, you know, there's another... You know, because she could be the sentimental favorite because, oh, well, let's finally give it to her.
Yeah.
But then you have this juggernaut of those two, you know, who have been talked about on equal measure, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of hard to say.
You say a very tough category is best comedy actor. You have Donald Glover, who you mentioned earlier, for Atlanta. Jeffrey Tambor, who's won a couple of times. Very good actor. Zach Galifianakis, who is just insanely good as the twins on his show. And then Aziz Ansari's name has also come up. I wouldn't mind seeing him win.
Right, and that's just it. And I can't even remember who the other nominees are, but just those four are like, you know, wow.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are all... great, and at least two of them are sort of the creators of the show. Three of them are of those four that I list. But you know, and then there's Jeffrey Tambor, who's always awesome. You know, if you can't believe that he's who he is in that show, then you can't believe anything about the premise of that show. And so that really works.
He's come a long way, Jeffrey Tambor. I mean, really,
I know.
From the early days, right. of the Larry Sanders Show, and he used to do so much episodic television.
Right.
He'd do little bit parts on Hill Street Blues and shows like that, and now he's just so amazing, such a good actor.
Yeah.
So now, because, you know, in the early days of TV, you just had your three major networks, and they were competing for these things. Now there's countless networks, and they even allow, like, if your show is just on, like, a streaming service or something, you can be nominated.
Right, right. So... You know, and Netflix and Amazon were right up there with HBO and NBC for a number of nominations this year.
For Best Actor in a Drama, you list Bob Odenkirk, Chicagoland's own Bob Odenkirk, for Better Call Saul. What do you think? Does he stand a chance?
I think so.
Yeah?
I mean, things that I've read says that he really stands a good chance.
His last season is just amazing.
Yeah. And he hasn't won for this role in this show.
Yeah.
So possibly, but you know, and then there's Matthew Reese, who I think has always been amazing in
The Americans,
which has been a perennially overlooked show.
Do you know he and Kerry Russell are together in real life? I didn't know that. Yeah. I just found that out a week ago.
They have a term.
And they like Judas Priest.
They enjoy Judas Priest.
They named their kid Judas
after Judas Priest. How about that?
But then there's Sterling K. Brown, who won last year for
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, for the limited series, I think, supporting actor.
He was Christopher Darden in the O.J. Simpson
series. And he's up for This Is Us as a Best Actor nomination.
He's pretty great in there.
Yeah.
They all are, but he really, you know, having a little issue with anxiety and trying to come to terms with a lot of different things, he's done a fantastic job on that show.
Yeah, right. So, you know, then there's, you know, and I just sort of, when I wrote these down for you guys, I was just sort of writing down who I thought would be the possibilities. But, you know, then there could be dark horses that I'm not even considering, you know, in those lists because there's so many good people in those shows.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Hopkins is up against Odenkirk, too.
What's he in?
Westworld.
Oh, I never saw
him. And he was super creepy in that.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He really was.
And so, you know, there's all these... You know, a lot of things can happen, I guess. It'll be a fun night.
This is Sunday night, the Emmy Awards on CBS hosted by Stephen Colbert who, interestingly, is promoting it on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
That makes sense. They're friends.
I know they're friends.
And he's out in L.A.
There was a time where if you had the 10:30 talk show slot, you didn't go on your opposing show. It just looked bad.
You mean Jay Leno never went on Letterman's show to promote his stand-up?
No.
Not when he was on opposite him.
Yeah. Right. In the early days of Letterman, Jay Leno was a standard, but this is really strange. I love it because they respect each other.
I think now it's just sort of, there's not that. I mean, there might be some kind of jealousy or some kind of heavy competition, but I don't think among the actual hosts that they consider it, that they even worry about it that much.
Yeah.
Unless their boss says you have to increase your ratings or you're going to get canned. But.
And a lot of bosses don't like other hosts coming. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like the intermingling. I'm with you on that.
I think it's a little different world now. I
mean,
yeah.
It's not as...
So many options out there.
Kurt Wagner's here. A moment of silence for your performance today.
Thank you. We're supposed to applaud.
Listeners, you will not be charged for today's program. I apologize. I left my brain at home. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy in the Morning with Melissa and Whip. Our guest from TVShowPatrol.com, it's you. It's Kurt Wagner. Kurt, like we said, Sunday's a big night. It's Emmy night. Where do you watch the Emmys? You watch them at home, or do you go out to a big Emmy party?
No, I just watch them at home.
Privately, quietly, so you can study, take notes.
I can groan or applaud.
Are there some groans? Are you expecting some groans on Sunday?
Maybe, who knows?
Maybe a couple of groans. You know who's returning to TV, and I find this very exciting, is Jim Carrey.
Okay.
This is good news, right?
Well, if you're a Jim Carrey fan, it's great news.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Are you not?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, all right. All right. But his last TV job as an actor was in Living Color. He's been a producer. He produces the show you like so much on Showtime.
I'm Dying Up Here.
Which has been renewed.
I know. I saw that. Pretty excited.
Yeah. And he's also going to be a producer and the star of a new Showtime show called Kidding. As in, I'm kidding.
Right. And what's it about?
No, I'm not kidding.
This is where he's like a kids' television show host, right?
He's a kids' television show.
Just like you. You run the magic door.
Yeah, it's my story. Walk through the screen, the little screen.
And he, besides being this really sweet character on TV, he runs this brand empire, you know, that's this multi-million-dollar empire. But it's sort of about how he's doesn't get along with everybody. His life's sort of imploding outside of work.
Is it a comedy, a drama, or one of those right in the middle?
It might be sort of right in the middle.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like a little bit leaning toward the drama side. But yeah. Michael Gondry is going to direct it. He did, what was that called? Spotless Mind. What was the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yeah.
And that was sort of fun, but a little wacky and dramatic to me, right? He'll be directing, and I think he's also producing.
The phone calls are lining up for you, Kurt. Kathy has a call for you. Kathy from Westmont. Kathy, go ahead. It's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com.
Kurt, I have to know. I've been seeing previews from Chicago Fire. Please tell me Jesse Spencer's not leaving the show.
I do not know.
Uh-oh.
Why, are they hinting about that, Kathy?
I'm sorry?
Are they hinting about Jesse leaving?
Well, yeah, they're showing previews because they're coming on in 2 weeks. And, you know, at the end last year, they had a big fire for their finale and that. And they're saying, you know, one person is going to die. And they're showing funeral scenes, and they're showing his picture up there.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a bad sign, Kurt.
It is, but I don't know what the answer is.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Kathy, they say in the ad, like for the ad for the new show, one person will die. They say that?
Well, yeah. You know, actually, I think it was created or the producers or something. Because there were, if you remember from last year, two of them were trapped in this fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hinting, they hinted as when I was reading this stuff for the new season, there will be somebody not returning, and we're going to find out, but they're not saying who. Now there's Channel 5 is starting to show previews, and like I just said, they're showing, you know, they're at a funeral, sir, all the fires. And
that's really sad.
There's picture up there.
Kathy, I got to be honest with you. If Kurt did know, would you
would
not
want
to
know.
Spoil
I would
it.
Tell him, right. But I do not.
God, I hope not.
Well, keep watching.
It would be crazy because he's like the center of that show.
Well, my only thing is if he's got something else that he's into.
Oh, yeah, that's maybe. True. You're smart, Kathy. I hope you get what you want.
I hope not, though.
hope he lives. Thank you, Kathy. There was a time on TV when a character died, you didn't know it was coming. I remember that used to happen, like there was a character on Hill Street Blues, Joe Coffey.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden he goes in, he gets shot. Nobody knew that was happening. But now we tend to know for some reason when a character's exiting a show that they're going to die off.
Well, you know, it's things get leaked and people, if they're filming around Chicago, for example, with these Chicago shows, you know, you see people.
Yeah.
You see the actors and you're like, oh, well, obviously that person... You know, made it out of the fire, but I don't know about those.
All right.
Jason has a question. And how are you, Jason?
Hey, how are you? Hey, I religiously watched for the second season now a show called Preacher.
Best show on TV. I love it.
Oh, my God. Now, I just want to know, is the young lady going to come back next year. That's it. The only question I have. If you watch the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Is the young lady going to come back next year?
I want to say something. There was a finale that looked very dismal. But if you can just keep in mind, Jason, in my opinion, you saw a young teenage preacher bringing a chicken.
You know what blew me away, Wendy? You know what blew me away? The old man in the sunlight. I never saw that coming. Never saw that coming. I thought they were all going to leave together. And yeah. Oh, my God. I'm just saying, it is... It's an underground show. Not everybody knows about it. It's a very weird storyline to follow. And Wendy, do you watch the Preacher after show type thing? They had one on for the last episode, and they had all of the mains on. And it was fantastic.
You didn't get a hint from that show?
But, Jason, wait. Let me just tell you, the young teenage preacher brings a chicken as a gift to a faith healer, and it appears that maybe that's what he's doing with something else. That's all I'm going to say. Don't give it away.
Right. Well, yes, they did, because in the closing, as he's driving back in.
Okay, but if people haven't watched it, hang on. I can't let him do this. Jason, I don't mean to turn you off.
What I was getting
call me at home. We'll chat.
It's a fantastic, and I'm hoping they're bringing it back for season 3.
I think they are, but I'm not sure if they've announced it officially, but I can't imagine they wouldn't because it's been getting a lot of love.
Keep watching. Jason, we'll talk later about this. Thank you for calling.
I thought he did a great job because I watched a bit of the first season, but based on his almost haiku-like clues about the old man and the sun and stuff like that, I didn't know what he was talking about, so he didn't give away.
Bill's face was hilarious.
He didn't give me anything away.
But if you were up to date and haven't watched the finale yet, it's given a little away.
All right.
I live for that show. I really do. I actually purchased the comic book.
Oh, you did?
Well, you know, that's just it, Jason, novel. if you're still listening, get the graphic novel and see what happens.
But they don't always follow.
They don't always follow. But.
Like Walking Dead doesn't follow the graphic novel.
A little bit they do.
A little bit they do, but there are some characters that have survived that didn't in the novel, so there's always that. I want to quickly say how sad it was that Frank Vincent died, the actor from The Sopranos who played Phil Leotardo, very, very fine actor. He was in a bunch of movies as well.
He had
that
great hair.
He was very nice.
Didn't he?
Very
always
nice.
Always well-coiffed.
Yeah, yeah. And then also you got to interview an actress who spent a lot of time in Chicago. She used to be at Second City, Jackie Hoffman, who's all over the television. She's nominated for an Emmy on Sunday also.
She's nominated for an Emmy for Supporting Actress. She played Mamacita in Feud, Betty and Joan, and she was great in it. And
she has a running role in Difficult People also.
She plays Rachel. In Difficult
Billy's
People. Billy's sister-in-law. And she's had tons of different bit parts in different TV shows, but she's currently on Broadway in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as Mike TV's mother. But she's nominated, first-time nominee in a very tough category, and I got to talk to her in the Stories in the Sun Times today, and I'll have some excerpts on
excellent.
My site as well.
So does she address, like, when you're in a category... and everybody else in the category's name is kind of famous, and yours is not as famous. Is that tough? I bet it is.
Well, yeah, and she's sort of hilariously self-deprecating about that because, you know, she basically told me I think it's a joke that I'm nominated with these women.
Really?
Because one of the nominees, Judy Davis, who's her co-star, has won 3 times and been nominated like 12 times for an Emmy. Michelle Pfeiffer is in her category.
Wow.
And then there's somebody who's won the last 2 years in this category is nominated against her. But then everybody's pretty famous besides her. And so she thinks it's kind of funny. But, you know, it's a testament to her ability because she's this character actress who throughout her life has stolen scenes.
Yeah, she's great.
And she steals every scene she's in. And she was not even supposed to be in every episode. And they upped her screen time. Because of what she was doing with the character.
It's beautiful.
But she's hilarious, so I'm going to put the stuff that I couldn't get into the Sun-Times story on my site today, where she talks about getting ready for the Emmys and a spoof she did from the show.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Kurt, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thank
Hope you have
Kurt.
A great weekend. It's Kurt Wagner. His website is tvshowpatrol.com. It's on your computer.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Kim, thank you so very much. We are going to be talking to Rich Lankoff right now. Rich, what is your company again? Here we go. I don't have any of your info.
That's okay. I barely have it myself. It's my law firm is called Bryce Downey Alenkov, and our podcast is called Legal Face-Off here on WGN.
With a new co-host, is this correct?
Yes, well, new co-host. Relatively new. Christina Martini is the co-host of Legal Face-Off. She's been on the job here for a few weeks and doing an excellent job.
She was a frequent guest in the old days, and now she's co-hosting.
Yeah, she writes a column called Inside Out in Chicago Lawyer Magazine, so she would come on the show every few months and talk about that. Her co-writer is her husband, so they've been guests for a long time, and now she's the permanent co-host.
Excellent.
You should change your name to Billy Margarita.
I would do that.
It would work for you.
If it's good for business, I would do it.
Whatever it takes.
A little salt on the rim.
Whatever it takes.
Here's a question, Rich. This Slender Man case is as strange as strange can be. For people who are not up on it, please give a little background as to the Slender Man case.
Yeah, so this is a case up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, involving two girls who were 12 years old at the time, and they lured another 12-year-old girl into the woods and stabbed her. They tried to kill her, is the allegation.
She did survive.
She survived. And now, 3 years later, one of the girls, Anissa Weyer, has entered an insanity plea in the case. So she is trying to convince a jury that she was not of sound mind when she committed this crime and therefore should go to a hospital instead of going to prison. Of course, the prosecutors are arguing that she had the requisite intent, she had the requisite state of mind to exhibit enough criminal behavior to warrant a conviction.
Don't we think that someone who would do something like this would be insane or is insane if they do this type of thing? And how is a hospital better than prison? Because it appears she wouldn't really be released from that anytime soon.
Right. So two questions there. The first question is, it would seem at first glance that anyone who would stab someone the amount of times that she did
12
could
years
be
old
insane.
With the intent of killing them.
Well, that's the question, right? Did she have the intent, and did she have the requisite state of mind? And the standard is whether she at the time, not today, but at the time of the attack, whether she could tell the difference between right and wrong, whether she could form the requisite intent. That sounds sort of like, you know, overly legal, but that's the standard. And that just comes down to a combination of her testimony, but mostly the credibility of the experts. Often these cases, whether it's criminal or civil, as you know, come down to whether the jury believes, you know, the competing experts. And both sides have and will continue to present testimony from the competing doctors to show what her state of mind was at the time.
Delusional, obviously. This Slender Man fictional character was something that allegedly inspired them and told them to commit this heinous act, correct?
Yeah, she's alleging that she did not have the requisite state of mind because she was ordered in her mind to attack this girl because of Slender Man. Slender Man is a fictional online character.
They didn't create this, though, right? Somebody created this?
Correct, yeah. Correct. It was already in existence, but she said that this character, you know, compelled her to commit this act, and that's why she couldn't tell the difference between what was right and what was wrong, and that's what caused her to commit the crime.
So, normally, Rich, if somebody's under the age of 16, they wonder exactly if they get the same sort of treatment in court of somebody who's an adult, right?
It depends on the state. But, yeah, generally 16, 18 are the determining ages for whether you're tried as a child or as an adult. Wisconsin has a lower age. And, you know, obviously that determines the punishment that you get. So, you know, often in these cases you'll see children tried as adults. You can be tried as an adult despite your age if the crime, you know, reaches a certain level. And this is, you know, that kind of crime that in many states would allow you to be tried as an adult.
There's two girls here who did the stabbing.
Correct.
Right? Is the trial individual for each of the two girls?
Yeah, they're being tried individually. This is just the one right now. I don't know whether the other one is going to allege the same, you know, defense in terms of her mental state. But right now the one girl is being tried.
And their names were released, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Isn't that unusual, too, for someone under 16?
Yeah, that is. Again, that's very dependent on the state. But it is unusual, certainly for victims to be named. Sometimes the alleged, you know, the suspects will also not be named, but certainly when you're dealing with victims, those, if they're underage, are often not named.
Go back for a second to the possibility of both of these girls claiming insanity. How would that work? Wouldn't you, if you were on the opposing side, wouldn't you say, what are the odds that both girls would automatically be or just temporarily be insane? What if there were 5 girls or 10 or 20 girls involved? Could they all say they were temporarily insane?
Sure. I think that's a great point. I mean, the more people that you have involved in any crime, the harder it is to prove that you didn't have the intent, and certainly that, you know, it happened, you know. She's alleging, for example, that she was in fear of being killed herself. That's why she did it. It's hard to say that. It's hard to argue that if you've got, to your point, several people. The more people I think that are involved, in this case it's only 2, but you know, if there was more than that, I think you could argue successfully that this was planned. And the more that the prosecution can show that there was some planning to it, then the less likely it is that an insanity or temporary insanity defense would be successful.
How does a 12-year-old kid do something like this? The more I think about it, I mean, because, you know, was the intent to kill? When you stab someone so many times, you know right from wrong, you know that that's going to ultimately lead to someone's death.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of the more shocking things that we've seen. Again, you know, she's alleging and she's trying to convince a jury that she was in fear for her own life, right? We've heard many defenses. You've seen many criminal defenses where the defense is that I was fearful that I would be killed. That's why I had to kill the person.
Right.
That's usually, you know, a human being. That's not usually an online character. It's a little hard to believe, regardless of the medical evidence that they'll put forward, that she was in fear that if she didn't kill someone, that Slender Man would kill her. I mean, I think any of us would think that that's complete junk.
Yeah.
What was that thing? Was it Mary Worth, where you'd look in a mirror and say it 3 times, and if
Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
Well, there's that too. But yeah. I mean, these are exactly.
We'll scratch your eyes out.
Yeah, this is exactly like that. It's a fictional character that doesn't exist. I just don't understand the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a hard sell. I don't think that if I was on the jury, I would buy it. Again, a lot of this comes down to the medical evidence and how credible the doctors are. I mean, you know, the defense is going to and has put forward a doctor. It's up to the prosecution to, you know, point out the holes in that theory.
With these girls being tried separately, you would almost imagine for the full story to be told that they'd have to testify at each other's trial, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's true. I think that, you know, they're not, you don't, obviously you can't be compelled to testify against yourself.
Right.
But
or against your spouse, right?
Correct.
Is that still intact?
Correct, yeah. Correct. But you know, I do think we'll see their testimony at these separate trials for each other.
All right. Rich Lenkoff is here. We'll continue to discuss legal matters with him. Stick around. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We're talking law with Rich Lenkoff, our legal expert. Rich, all of a sudden, Rod Blagojevich is everywhere again. He was
looking
on the cover.
Good.
Looking very good. Looking very good with the silvery hair, the bluey silvery hair.
Buff.
Yeah, he's in great shape. And being interviewed, what are we learning about Rod Blagojevich from these new interviews?
Lots of things. We're learning that he likes Lincoln, the movie Lincoln, and the ghosts. Kind of a random viewing list there.
Although, yeah. How many titles do you think they have in stock in prison? So, you know, that might be something.
Probably a lot of VHS tapes, I would imagine. Older ones. That probably explains ghosts. But, yeah, we learned a lot. We learned that he's mopping floors. He's earning $8.40 a month. He has moved to a lower security part of the prison, one that apparently you could leave sometimes. He's not left, apparently.
Leave, like, off-premises?
Yeah, he said that some people leave to buy cigarettes, like, I guess, at a store, which seems a little strange.
Okay, that's weird. I don't like the fact that someone who's in prison for something can just go, I'll be right back.
Yeah, for sure. But
will
you know, this is
a
low.
Will they take a closer look at that now? Now that that's out in the open.
Now that he's ratted them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
So.
Maybe not a good thing for Blago to disclose. But yeah, I mean, the main takeaway I think is that you know, he is obviously focused on what appears to be his last attempt at reversing or lowering his sentence. He's now 5.5 years into a 14-year sentence in Inglewood. And he is putting his efforts into a Supreme Court attempt. And that will be coming up shortly here. November 2nd is the date by which they have to file for a writ of certiorari, which basically means you're asking the Supreme Court to take the case. Remember, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take any case by right. You have to apply, and they have to agree that there's an issue that is worthy of Supreme Court determination. So they're going to file that. We have his appellate lawyer, Len Goodman, on our show next week on Tuesday. And, you know, the question is whether the court will do anything. In my opinion, there's actually a fairly good chance. If you look at, if you look at under John Roberts, who's the current Supreme Court Justice, or Chief Justice, in the last 6 years or so, the period that Blago's been in jail, there's been a number of cases, four big cases particularly, that really narrow the scope of what prosecutors can do in going after elected officials. They've really narrowly tailored what a prosecutor can go after in terms of things like gifts. And remember, you know, Blago never actually took anything, right? We've seen Jesse Jackson, who, you know, took campaign funds.
Jesse Jackson Jr.
Jesse Jackson Jr. for a Rolex watch, for other items, go to jail for 2.5 years. Bob McDonald, who is the former governor of Virginia, was taking, you know, the same thing, was actually getting money from someone who was trying to do business with the government. And he was getting clothes and trips and wardrobe. His case went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court in June of last year said, no, we're going to overturn it, throw out the whole thing. So,
and 14 years, that was his sentence that he received.
Blagojevich, yeah.
Yeah, that is, in my opinion, just a lot.
It's a lot. It's fairly unprecedented. It's the longest term ever for this kind of conviction. And again, you know, when you consider that he did not actually take anything, the government's case was based on...
But he was attempting.
Well, that's the thing. The government's case was based on, you know, his intent. And what Goodman and Blago's lawyers are going to argue is that he did not have the requisite intent. He did not know that what he was doing was illegal. In Blago's mind, the argument goes, all he was trying to do was, you know, normal horse trading that you see in politics and normal, you know, campaign fundraising. And that's really a key difference. That's really where a lot of this case will come down, whether he had the requisite, what we call mens rea, which is criminal intent.
Is he feeling, is he apologizing? Is he taking blame for anything? How's his, how are his feelings on that?
Yeah, well, what he said in the interview was, and I'll quote him, he said, I firmly believe that I never crossed any lines in seeking to raise campaign contributions. To say otherwise would be a dishonor, to dishonor myself, setting a cowardly example for his daughter. So he is maintaining that he was innocent. He's maintaining that he did nothing wrong, which is an interesting strategy, right? There's an argument to be made that if you throw yourself on the mercy of the court and say, listen, maybe I exhibited bad judgment, but I've done 5.5 years, and I'll be an old man by the time I get out, give me some pity. Courts have done that. But he's going the other way, and he's saying, no, I'm 100% innocent.
This idea that I'm about to propose to you is not my idea. Others have said this. I'm just echoing it to you. Some have suggested that he has a relationship with our current president, with Donald Trump. So stranger things have happened. We just saw Donald Trump pardon Joe Arpaio, and if he'll pardon him, he'll pardon anybody. Is there any chance of that happening?
Yeah. So, you know, I said earlier that his last chance legally is the Supreme Court. Obviously, the other last chance is a pardon. Trump is sympathetic, we think, to Blagojevich. He certainly had him on his show on The Celebrity Apprentice.
He and his wife, right?
Correct. I agree. You know, Arpaio was a surprise. Certainly Trump didn't care about the political fallout from Arpaio. He unquestionably, to most people, had the legal authority to do so, although one of the experts we had on our show last week differs with that. But you're right. If he had the political and legal authority to do what he did with Arpaio, who was, you know, convicted of, was under a court order to stop what he was doing and was in contempt of it. I mean, a clear violation of a federal judge's order.
Yeah.
Well,
not just in contempt, proud of what he
absolutely
was doing.
Boasted about it. So you're right. If he did that with Trump, then, you know, there's a good chance that he'll do that with Blago.
Why do presidents even get to pardon people? To me, that's a stupid thing. Let them just pardon the turkeys on Thanksgiving. Why? I mean, seriously, it seems they were convicted of something. Why does a president get to go, okay, Mulligan? Yeah. It just doesn't seem right.
Good question. I mean, ask our founding fathers who put it in Article 2, Section 2. I mean, it's right in there. And it's so broad that all it says is basically for anything except for impeachment. So, you know, that's why what he did with Arpaio is, unfortunately, to those who didn't like it, legal and within his authority.
If there's one credit I can give him for this is that normally these more controversial pardons happen as the president is packing his things and walking away from the White House. He didn't do it that way.
Correct. I mean, at least he showed,
you know, 3.5 years to go.
Yeah, I thought, you know, even though I disagree with what Trump did with Arpaio, I thought it showed some courage because you're right. He has, you know, 3.5 years that he has to deal with that, whereas people like Clinton and Mark Rich, he did it on the way out of office when, you know, hey, you don't like it?
I'm
in Hawaii, exactly. So, to that extent, that
Trump doesn't care what anybody else thinks. That it really is it.
Yeah. Rich, where can people hear you?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Bill. Yeah. Right here on WGN Airwaves, we tape our show Legal Face-Off every 2 weeks. So our next one is taping on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'll be available that afternoon, thanks to our crack producer, Craig Collins, on WGN. And then on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts after that.
Excellent. Good to see you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.